Because of the resurrection of Christ. Resurrection day. Pretty powerful day. Would you agree? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, that's my little Resurrection Sunday special, because I said that I also want to finish the topic of giving, but this is just something, hopefully, just prepare your hearts for today. I mean, I really hope that the culture of our church begins to be so excited about Resurrection Sunday. When I saw a few of the children teachers last night put up...
maybe that's the Holy Spirit coming to life, you know, fill you. When I saw these signs that the kids made last night, you know, I was like, man, I wish we had some special He is Risen signs in the sanctuary. Some beautiful, colorful pictures. We have life today because of His resurrection. It is the meaning of our life. Right? So, I just hope that let's get there. You know, a lot of you guys are very influential in the church, right? Let's, in the future, make Resurrection Sunday a big deal. Let's like, make more splash about it. You know, I don't want to be the only one, like, reminding people to go to read through Jesus' path to Good Friday and Resurrection. I don't think many people spend time on Passion Week. It's like a tradition for me that I do every year. It's like ingrained in me that I do that. And I just keep looking forward to Resurrection Sunday. I hope that we begin to build a culture at our church that, dude, Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, that's a big deal. This is the most important day of all of human history for us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. So let's continue now in our topic, 2 Corinthians on giving, and we're going to wrap up today on this, right? Last week, we read chapter 8, 1 through 4, and we started to unpack this, right? So let's read it one more time if you weren't here last week, and we'll be able to get this through in like about 20 minutes, okay? So let's read this together, and then I'm going to ask you, I forgot how many points I went through last week, but let's just go through it and we'll see where we ended up. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Want to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given to the churches of Macedonia. Whether it's a new test of affliction, whether it's abundance of joy, and extreme poverty, overflow in the blood of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, beyond their means, but for their own more.
Okay, relief of the saints where? In Jerusalem. These were the Messianic Jews. These were the Jewish Christians who, I won't go through the whole background with you again, but we know that they were suffering. Right? They were suffering for their faith, and they also, via the First Jerusalem Council, push the gospel out, which got the gospel to the churches in Macedonia, which are Philippi, let's say it together, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, right? And these churches, as Paul was planting them and bringing people to Christ and starting these churches, he said, you gotta give to these Jewish, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. It's because of them the gospel came to you, and they're suffering. And these new Christians were so excited to give. What was the first thing I talked about from this text that I wanted to show you last week? I know I did the first point. So the first point that we saw in the text, what are the points of generous giving, biblical giving, right, is biblical giving is generous giving and joyful giving. Do one more time. Biblical
giving is generous giving and joyful giving.
Why? Why in this text do we have a picture of biblical giving? How do they become generous and joyful? By what? Giving comes from what?
Do you guys remember?
Huh?
The heart.
Okay.
Yeah, that's always the right answer. God. Comes from Jesus. Hey, good.
Good. Yeah, biblical comes from what? I said what? Anybody have notes from last week?
Said the grace of giving itself a gift of God.
Okay, the gift of God, right?
God.
The grace. The grace of giving, right, is a gift from God. It's God's grace, right? And what we saw in this, and what we saw in this picture is all that you have been given. Whether it's, you know, I said funny things like unusual intelligence. Some of you are really smart here. Like super, super intelligent. Well beyond me. As Pastor James said very honestly to me one time, hey man, your CPU just doesn't work as fast as other people. I said, you're right, you're right. He didn't mean that in a mean way, but it's just true. I was saying, how come so-and-so is just so smart? And he goes, dude, your CPU, see, I don't even know what computer terms are. My computer thing here is not, doesn't run as fast as other people. I readily admit that. Not the smartest guy in the room. Some of you have been given this really unusual intelligence by God. That's wonderful. Pastor James is way, his speed is way faster than me. I praise God for that. God gave him that. He didn't give me that. Right? That's great. Amen. And if you're extremely good looking, I don't know why I put that in, that's fine. Yeah, some of you are extremely good looking in here. Praise God. God gave that to you. If you're a great athlete, you have great health, that's God's gift. If you have the gift of giving and all these resources, because God has enabled you and motivated you. And I said that there are many, though, different motivations for giving. And we talked about all these different sub-Christian motives for giving. Well, I don't know if sub-Christian was the right word, but just these ulterior motives for giving. And we came up with these. People give because of guilt. People give because of tax deductions. That was like a big one. Everybody, like even the kids came up with that. Like the kids group up here was like, tax deductions, right? Like people give just for taxes. Wow, even the kids know that. And they don't pay taxes yet. Appear, what is this, appear generous?
Generous.
Generous, to appear generous. I think, because I was spelling this wrong, right? It'd be Jenna, right? And to, someone said honor, what does that mean? Oh, because you're giving, you're given honor when you give, right? We talked about the churches, pardon me. I don't mean to talk about other churches in a bad light, okay? But I do know of places, certain places, not all places, that you know when you give, you get a name on the plaque. You get this chair, the Peter and Nancy Hu family donation, right? Because they gave $15 for this chair, right? Whatever it is, it's probably $8 for this chair, right? Whatever. We get honor because our name is now on it. Oh, the pulpit was donated by the Michael Milton Wong family. Oh, that's great. Oh, hey, guess what? This light bulb has Serena's name on it. Yeah, she gave $3. You know, hey, let's honor ourselves for giving. That's a reason that we say sub-Christian reasons. To give something back. Someone in the back said quid pro quo, right? This for that. Hey, if I do this for you, if I give to the church, if I give to support the kingdom work, what do I get back out of it? Right? There's a lot of these fundraiser dinners for missions works and things like that. Hey, man, there's a big donor table. Okay? That table gets the lobster. That table gets the scallops. All the regular donors get, you know, hey, what do I get? Hey, when I gave extra, when I gave $1,001, oh man, I got the lobster entree. And I want to be able to receive from them. Hey, if I gave to the church, right? Let's say this, I'll make it up. This happened, but not true, right? We used to have Sunday school in the Stone House. Okay? Sunday school. That's when Bethany was a little baby. We used to have prayer meetings in there. That's what, and it was kind of a dirty little building, right? So when Bethany was little and crawling around during prayer meeting, we found like bugs in her mouth because she was just like picking up bugs and eating it. Like, we're like, oh, yay, amen, protein. And then we felt like deacons, everybody felt, man, we need more room as we built this activity center for like our all the growing number of babies at our church. So we spent all this money to fix it up, get new carpet, paint the walls, make it all nice, make it all, you know, clean for the kids. It's great. So like Marcus and Newton, right?
No.
Cam can hang out in there and be at peace. CJ is still in there. Because he's like me. We're not that smart, so he can't get upgraded to the next class. Right? So CJ's still in there, and we're all, and it's great. Okay? What if I was one of the largest donors for that? Oh, and now I have my little name on the door, right? Alex and Beck's family. Right? Donation.
Alex Hope.
Huh?
That's an Alex Hope.
Alex, what?
Or Alex, nursing.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Alex Stonehouse.
Yeah, the Alex and Bex Lou Stonehouse, right? The home for unfortunate kids, right? Great. And so, well, now, CJ is getting a little smarter. And he's supposed to come out of there. Or he's in there, and they limit him. Because you're too big now. You're not smart enough to go to the big kids class, but you're too big to play in here. You're not allowed to play in this area of the stone house. This is for the little babies that really belong here. Well, CJ comes out. Well, they don't let me play. The stone house people don't let me play. I see your name here, Daddy. Dada, Alex Lou home for unfortunate kids. How come you don't let me play? They don't let me play. Wow.
You know what? I was a big donor for that. I'm going to go in and I'm going to talk to the deacon board. I'm going to talk to the head of the nursery in the stone house, Elaine, and them and say, look, hey, see my name? My son should be allowed to do whatever the heck he wants here. I don't care if he wants to pee in the corner. My son, I donated to this. That's not a true story, obviously.
Because they didn't put my name up there. No, I'm saying. It's not a true story, but could things like that happen at church? Yes or no? Yes. It is unfortunate. It is sad that people give to get something back. Right? Like, well, I'm a pretty big donor of this church. You need to listen to my voice. My voice matters. I'm not a deacon. I'm not an elder. But hey, come on. I'm a big giver. Oh, you know what? I've even heard this before. Someone who has left a church who was a donor said, you guys don't want me leaving this church. I know I'm one of the biggest givers at this church. When I leave this church, you guys are going to be in trouble. Wow. Really? That is such a good attitude of giving. That's biblical giving, is it not? Oh, not, right? To get something back. Or you give because it's expected. Well, Pastor James and Alex preached on offering and giving. I guess I better fork out a couple of shekels out to the offering box today. Right? Peer pressure, someone said. Well, other people are giving, right? It's like, as you know, that's also why we don't pass a plate. Did you notice that? We don't pass a plate to this church. Elder Chu started that tradition. Pastor James and I don't ever plan on changing that. It's an honor to give. It's a privilege to give. We don't want a plate to be passed. And as you're like, oh, okay, hey, look, you know, Kevin's like busting out a dollar because he's so generous, you know, and oh, he puts it in and I'm like, I guess I'll give a dollar too, or I'll top him, I'll put a dollar and a quarter. Because, you know, everyone's watching me and that offering guy's like, is Kevin gonna give? Is Pastor Alex gonna give? I better give a dollar, you know? Peer pressure or personal gain. We see all these reasons, and yet this church here, none of those common motives were dominant with the Macedonians.
They gave because God gave to them and enabled them to give. Right? They recognize that God blessed them to be a blessing to others. Remember, I've always said this. If the blessing stays on you, it's not a blessing from God. The blessing's got to flow through you to others. That's God's design. You're blessed to bless. You are blessed to bless. And you get blessed more. Any of you in this room who have experienced that know that God loves when you are so open-handed. That when you are blessed and you just give, whether it's money or time or energy or anything, the more you give out, the more God keeps pumping into you. But the more he's pumping into you, you should already know, like, oh, I'm not going, oh yeah, I got more now. No, you're like, all right, I can give more now. That's a principle in scripture. You see that? I'm like teaching with my wallet. My goodness. Okay, so that's the grace of giving. That's God's grace. God gives us grace to give. Okay? What was the second thing that we saw in these verses? We saw that what? What was my point? Did I give the second point? Or do I need to show it? Oh, yes. Right? I said... Okay. Oh, and we talked about what's the number one reason people don't give? Right? Did we talk about that? And we said these reasons. I need it. I can't give. I need the money. I can't give. I mean, I'm barely covering my own bills. And that new iPhone I just bought. And that new... I mean, I gotta pay my bills and my vacation and my toys and I mean, I just got a new car. How can, I mean, I need it. But that's not even true. Some of it's not even that you bought all those things. Sometimes it is hard to get by, isn't it? I don't have enough. Or someone in this room says, my parents never taught me to give. Because, you know, God blame it on our parents. Someone else will give. I don't need to give. You know, those rich folk in our church, they're going to give. I don't want to. I don't trust God. No. Oh, no, no. This was, Uncle Freeman said this. I don't trust the person I'm giving it to. I mean, have you seen the way Peter buys shoes? I mean, if he has a need, I mean, I know he has problems paying the rent, so if I give him... $200, I mean, you know. you know what he's going to buy. He ain't going to pay for his rent. He going to buy shoes. I mean, you know. Right? I don't trust him to give to him. And then we said, I have it too tough. It's too hard for me. I can't give. But what we saw, the second thing we saw with this these churches in verse 2, is that poverty does not prevent generosity. We saw that we usually think of poverty and generosity as like mutually exclusive, but they're not. In verse 2 in the NIV, it says, in the midst of a severe trial. Okay, so what does that mean? Tough times. Tough times on these churches. And they're yet they had overflowing what? Joy. And their what?
Extreme.
I mean, it's not just poverty. It's what? Extreme poverty. Welled up in rich generosity. What do you see here? Biblical giving is generous giving and joyful giving. You see that? This is not a case of rich churches or rich Christians giving to poor Christians. It is a picture of poor Christians giving to poorer Christians. Poverty does not prevent generosity. Yes, you might have it hard. Yes, there are richer brothers and sisters at the church. But God's not looking at that. In fact, the picture of biblical giving is this. Worldly generosity is based on the amount given. Right? Because we look at that. Biblical generosity is based on the sacrifice made. You with me? And someone last week gave the picture of the widow
and her might. She did not give a lot and was obviously seen by people. Right? Oh my goodness, really? Look at how much I gave. I mean, she's got this, I mean, what? Coin? Really? Wow. That's, whoo, she's a big giver. But she gave what? What does the Bible say? Everything she had. That was a sacrifice. It's not the amount given. It's the sacrifice made. That means every one of us, I don't care how young you are, you don't have an excuse. Even for my children, when they get hongbao, right? We teach them, how much of this do you want to give? You get hongbao, you got a lot of money, dude. Or Christmas money or whatever. You know what God does? He gives us so that we can give. Right? We teach our kids that. We want them to learn giving, sharing. You get three jars. You get a jar to save. You get a jar to spend a little bit. Hopefully, if you are wise, and you get a jar to give. Right? And hopefully, that giving jar is not the least amount. You see what I mean? Amen? Okay, let's discuss. Okay, well, for I testify in verse 3 that they gave as much as they were able, and even what? Beyond their ability. You see, that's a sacrifice. This is God's picture of giving. They gave beyond their ability. They gave as much as they were able because, you know, hey, I don't have enough. I mean, I'm scraping by here. And they gave as much as they were able, and they gave more. They gave beyond their ability. How do you think Christians are able to give beyond their ability? How? How can we give beyond our ability? Talk about that real quick in your group. Okay? For like 1 minute. And I want to hear a few answers. 1 minute. I'm going to time you on it. I didn't go through this yet, did I? How does God enable you? Okay, pretty quiet room now. You guys need some help? How do you give? Okay, what do you guys think? How do you give? How are you able to give? How are you enabled to give beyond your ability? What do you guys think here? Crickets? Okay, how about down there? Crickets? Yeah, hop on the back, sure.
It's like, wait.
Okay, all right.
No, I got this.
Prepare it.
Like, I was just saying. Okay, so, like, you know how, like, the master, it's like, not yours to give in the beginning.
It's not okay, yours. It's an understanding that you're saying, this wasn't mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is God's. All that I have is God's. Great, Joshua, that's a good perspective, right? It's to recognize that nothing that I have is my own. God is just loaning it to me. It's not yours. How many of you look at your bank account and go, yeah, look at all my money, right? Yeah, look at all these, like, look at all these ones I got here. Yeah, look at that, that's all my money, right? Ooh, hey, honey, we got all this money. What should we do with it? What should we buy next? Hey, honey, let's save up. Let's save up our money. And let's save up for the next vacation, the next trip, the next thing, the next house renovation. Hey, honey, look at what we could do with our money. You see that? It's our money. Right? Yes,
You seem to concentrate on money, but life is not just money.
Sure.
It's also time.
Time. Our time.
24 hours a day. Spend it all by myself, or, you know.
There you go.
5 hours, 8 hours.
You got time, energy, right.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I know the church needs help. We're going to be planting flowers on Tuesday. Right? Now I know. Uncle Freeman's setting up flower planting day. Last time I missed it, it wasn't on the announcement of the bulletin. I missed it. Now I know. I could choose. You know what? Tuesday is my off day. That's my down day. Hey, man, I taught Sunday school. I'm preaching today. I'm going to be tired Tuesday. I want to just sit back and relax. That's my time. My time. Hey, honey, let's go watch a movie. Let's go watch Black Panther. Right? We haven't seen a movie yet in a long time. Let's go watch that. Right? Because what do we want to do with our time, honey? Right? It's true. It's ours. It's ours. It's me, mine, ours. And yet, Joshua's, his thing that he just shared is, we got to view it as not ours. God's given this body to us on loan. God's given us a bank account and even a retirement account. That ain't yours. How is that yours? God gave that to you. God's blessing you. Right? Remember? When you feel blessed by God and you don't let it flow through you, that ain't a blessing. It ain't God's blessing anymore. That's you hoarding. That's not God's blessing. You with me? Okay. All right, what's the last thing? Did I go through this yet already? Oh, okay. Generosity looks at giving as a privilege, not as an obligation. Okay. Generosity looks at giving as a privilege, not an obligation. You should have your Bibles open. I want you guys to look at this. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 8. They gave entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. NIV version. I've been liking the NIV recently on some stuff. 84. What are the key words you see here? Please. Take a moment. Look at the scripture. What are some key words that you see here? And give it to me. Okay? You see what? You see what? I hear like tweeting.
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 Tweeted.
Tweeted.
Pleaded.
Pleaded. Thank you. Pleaded.
We need to spell it for you?
Yes, there you go. Pleaded. What else? What keyword do you see here?
Privilege.
Privilege. Privilege.
How do you spell that?
P-R-I-V-I. Told you I'm not as smart as the room. Privilege. What else?
Urgently.
Huh?
Pastor Allen.
Urgently.
Pastor Allen.
Yes.
Privilege.
Privilege.
Whatever.
I-L-E-G.
I'm just trying to write nice now. Okay, what else?
Service.
Service? What else?
Entirely on their own.
Entirely on their own. Okay,
sharing
on their on their own. What else?
Sharing.
Sharing. Key words here, guys. The of. Did we cover almost all the words here? Okay. Look at these words. Look at these words.
Chapter
8. Remember 1 chapter 8? Urgent, pleaded, privilege. I spelled it right there, right? On their own. These are the characteristics of generous giving. You see that? When you are giving the way God wants you to, you see the sense of urgency. Do you? You see that it is a way to serve others by your giving. You see that you don't have to be told or taught a lesson from the Bible by your pastor that you need to give. Because whenever the pastor preaches on giving, you're kind of like, hey, wait a second. That money goes to him somehow. I don't know if it's true for our church. But a very good friend of mine is an accountant. And so he does the finances for their large church in San Diego. And he said, dude, the pastor staff here, they give a way higher percentage than the richest people at the church. I don't know if it's true here. Probably not. It always seems kind of ulterior for like a sub-Christian motive for a pastor to preach on this. You should be doing it on your own. Right? You're not giving to the pastor, dude. Okay? You're not giving to the pastor. You're giving to the Lord. You see it as a privilege to give. You see, these are the characteristics of this group of young believers. And they gave out of their poverty and even more than they could. Because they realized this principle of trust that God gave what they have to them. They believed that that was God's grace. Right? Guys, when believers give like the Macedonian churches, it gets exciting. It gets exciting. But the Macedonian churches weren't just givers, just known to be givers. They're just a young, shining group of believers. And this was a byproduct of their new life with Christ. You see that? It's a byproduct. Right? Of course, Paul had to teach them, show them the need. But then they felt urgent about it. You guys with me? Okay, that's it. We are done. The 3 points were God's grace that enables to give, right? Because God has so much grace on us. Second is poverty does not prevent generosity. Third point is generosity looks at giving as a privilege. Okay? Let's do it one last time and then we'll close in word prayer. What's biblical giving?
Biblical giving is generous giving.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again here on this Resurrection Sunday. We didn't talk about this, God. But the real reason why we give is because you gave everything for us. Lord, who are we to even have the privilege to give? Who are we to even been given this day to live so that we can give? Everything we have today, God, is because of you. And this new life we enjoy this new life and this new family we have in you, and we just revel in being together as believers. This is an amazing church that belongs to you, and you're doing an amazing work here, and we love it, we enjoy it, we receive from it. But if all we know how to do is to receive and receive and receive, Lord, then we're missing one of the biggest components of the Christian life, which is to give and to give and to give. Because Jesus was not a recipient. He was a giver. And he gave his life so that we may have it so good. Father, we pray that on this Resurrection Sunday, we would just let the thought of all that your resurrection has given us, even when we think about the resurrection, it's still you giving. and yet we're still hoarding. Help us, God, to just know that you have given us so much to enable us to give. You have blessed us so much as a church so that we can bless others. You have blessed us each individually so much so that we can release it and bless others. Father, let that be our prayer for ourselves. And may it be shown in the money, in the time, and the energy that we give to you and to others. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord. Lord Jesus, you are risen. You are risen indeed. And it is in your glorious name that we pray. Amen. Amen.